Well, man, Dan Price, man, welcome to Talking Comics. We've talked about doing this forever, and we finally are doing it. We've had Chris on a couple times, so now you got to come on again after this at some point.
Yeah, I'm happy to. I'm always happy to do that.
So I've been seeing you make the rounds at a lot of shows. I've been doing other people's shows, too. That's been so much fun with Lori and Kevin Davis and all kinds of people. That's been a lot of fun.
I'm on Facebook with Kevin Davis, but I've never spoken to him. He seems like a really cool guy. Yeah.
Yeah, reach out to him. He's got a link to book as well, just like I do.
Yeah.
I went on his podcast. I went on Lori's podcast, but she actually had something else to do with her kids that day and couldn't do it. Do you know Dash?
Dash Hooper?
Hooper? Yeah, Hooper. I was going to say Hopper.
I met Dash on a podcast just like last week. He was
awesome.
Nice guy.
So he filled in for Lori, and him and I did like 2 hours together. It was so much fun.
Wow.
He's one of those Midwestern people. He's in Oklahoma, just north.
Yeah, he's in Oklahoma. Yeah,
you're down in.
I'm in Texas. I'm in Austin.
Austin. Okay.
Yeah,
I will be out there sooner or later. My best friend moved to College Station, so.
Okay.
Right outside of Austin.
Nice. It's a couple hours away, but yeah.
I don't care. I'm about to drive 15 hours to Michigan. Think I care about 2 hours?
Now, you're going to Michigan. Where are you out of?
I live in North Carolina. So when I met you guys at Durham, that's only like 45 minutes, an hour for me.
That's real convenient then. Yeah, it was good meeting you in Durham. Was it Durham?
Durham. NC Comic Con in Durham in October, November, somewhere around there.
November, yeah.
I got to meet, it was awesome. So I got to meet Chris and you guys all in person. It was funny because you accused me of being Mr. Fish.
I screwed that shit up. I apologize.
Oh, no, it was great. Because when I actually got to have Mr. Fish on my podcast, I got to tell him that story and it was amazing. And I told T.S. Luther that story, and he's like, I can see it. He's about a foot and a half taller than me, I think. But
Mr. Fish is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like 6 foot, but I hear he's like 6'8 or something. He's pretty tall, really?
Yeah, no, we're on social together as well. I think TikTok with both him and T.S. Luther. So, yeah.
T.S. is awesome. He's a good dude. I should see him next week or this week. So
okay.
Hopefully I'll get to see catch him at lunch or something on the way up or down. That's what we did when we went to print our comic in Michigan. Because that's where my friend owns a print shop. So when I finished my comic, when, you know, Mike finished all the art, Annika and I drove up there just to print our comic and spent like 3 days in the print shop. It was amazing.
How fun.
We got to spend a whole day just picking out paper. And then, you know, the next day they ordered the paper that night. The next day we got to like play with all the machines and print and cut them and feed them through like the saddle stitch and the trimmer and everything. It was so cool.
Did she enjoy that?
Oh, yeah. She loved it. So we actually got to make our own comic, like literally. So that was pretty cool. I'm hoping to do like a little mini documentary about that. I have all the footage and stuff. So that would be kind of cool. I'm trying to figure out how I want to distribute it. I don't want to just make it a YouTube video as like just another episode. I want to do something a little bit more special. Might kickstart it. I don't know. Who knows? Speaking of Kickstarter, you just had how much longer you got?
Let me see. Hold on. I've got 16 days.
All right. Awesome.
16 days. Yeah, man. So it's coming along.
Well, tell us about the book and the story and your backstory and everything. Take over. I talk way too much.
No worries. You want me to just start at the beginning when I get to stop? Or...
Sure.
All right. So my name is Dan Price. I am the creator, co-writer, and sometimes artist of Bigfoot Knows Karate. And Bigfoot Knows Karate is the tale of a gentle yet deadly cryptid warrior being hunted by this nefarious cabal for mysterious means. And, you know, in the main storyline, there's just kaijus and cryptids and, you know, creatures of lore at every corner. And, you know, there's this Bigfoot who is completely alone in the world and now is just being hunted down by like Cthulhu. And there's a chupacabra with a shotgun and there's manticore and mothmen and minotaurs and all sorts of crazy characters in there with this crazy meta narrative running through the story too. you know, we liken the book. Did I say that we liken the book to Godzilla versus Kong meets Kill Bill with a twist of Stranger Things? Well, we do. And when I say twist, I do mean there's a twist in there, and it really does take you on a wild ride. So right now we have Bigfoot Knows Karate God Killer on Kickstarter, and that has been going really well. We funded the campaign in about 3 hours for a $3,000 goal, so I was really happy with that. And we've hit 2 stretch goals already, and we're honing in on the third one. We're about a little over $500 away from our next stretch goal at the $6,000 mark. So
awesome.
Going pretty good. You know, the Homebrewed Comics team are been very supportive and, you know, help getting the word out there. You know, we currently have Chris's campaign up as well. Crit number 10, Whole Latte Trouble. And I know he's been on the show already, but I'm going to.
A couple weeks ago.
Anyway, you know, yeah, he's got Whole Latte Trouble. I think he's closes his campaign out on Friday. So the 22nd, if you're listening, definitely go check that out. Crit, Whole Latte Trouble. And cool book, man. I mean, I've seen the pages. I see what's going on with it. Staccato Mamba is just an awesome villain and really cool stuff. But back to Bigfoot Knows Karate. God Killer, it's a one-shot, it's a one-shot comic exploring the history of the Bigfoot character that y'all have been reading about and have grown to love. This is our second one-shot. We did Bigfoot Knows Karate Hinnegan a couple years ago, and Hinnegan explored his time in feudal Japan. Whereas this one is going to explore his time in Asgard, as Bigfoot is being accused of the murder of Odin, and heads will roll. That's the long and short of it. Yeah, you know. So
Casey, I mean, as a huge Thor fan, like, sure. you know, I just
see him in the background there.
Got me with the daggone Asgard. You know, I don't have a job, and now you're gonna make me spend money on this thing.
Sorry, man.
It's fine.
So Casey Allen, my co-writer, who's been on with me since the beginning of the series, Casey took the lead on this story, and I could not be prouder of him. He's done an incredible job, you know, conceiving what the idea was. We worked it together. He wrote the script, and then I, you know, helped him with, you know, this and that. But, you know, because it's my book, you know, in the end of the day, so the one of the buck stops with me. And, you know, you got to make sure everything's working right for the overall brand and the series and that sort of thing. But Casey really did take the lead on this and did an incredible story. And then we brought in an artist, Justin Adcock, to do the artwork on this story. And Justin's brought a very dark, moody, Mignola-like vibe to the story that we haven't had in previous. You know, when we did Inagon, we had Adam Caswell on artwork for that, and he crushed it. He did an amazing job on that, but it was very kinetic, a lot of frenzy, a lot of action. My work is a bit more moody, but, you know, crazy colors and, you know, a little more cartoony, I think, in its way. I mean, I don't want to be cartoony, but that's just the way it comes out, you know. And but Justin's just brought some really beautiful expression to the book. And I get to color him, which has been a whole lot of fun. So I'm coloring Justin's work, and it's just made for a very fun, very, they're good communication. It's just been a very nice working environment, very collaborative working environment, because Justin's throwing ideas out too to help kind of flow the story a little bit. And so it's been fun, different, you know, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just been, you know, every time we bring on an artist to do a story, the vibe is always different. We've always had good experiences, but, you know, but everybody works a little differently and all of that. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, the collaboration part, mm-hmm. I would not trade for anything. Like working with Mike, you guys know Mike. So, you know, he's been phenomenal with like working together and giving us like getting the pages back every week and seeing them and tweaking the little things here and there.
Mike's my oldest Instagram friend.
Really? That's pretty cool.
He's the one I've still maintained, a relationship with since like 2017.
Wow, that's
We've been
awesome.
on Instagram a long time, so getting to meet him at Terrificon in the fall will be our
Will this be the first time you met him too?
First
Yeah,
time.
me too. So I'm, you know, that'll be, I mean, it's A, I get to meet Mike, who did my book, who,
Sure.
you know, in person. I've had him on the show like two or three times, and I talk to him on Instagram almost every day.
Sure.
We message each other, but being able to meet him in person, just like when I got to meet all you guys in person last year, and I get
Sure.
to hang out. Now we get to spend 3 days next to each other. So I can't wait for that. I told Chris one night we all have to go out to dinner or something and,
Sure.
do something
Yeah.
fun together.
Well, and then Christian DeMatteo is going to be up there from Fugitive Poems. If you don't
Sweet.
know Christian, he's fantastic. I owe him dinner, so we're going to go out to dinner with him one night. So
All
y'all come
right.
along with us that night.
Yeah.
We'll have a, I mean, look, we're going to be there. I'm coming in Thursday. I'm staying
Okay.
till Monday, so I plan to enjoy this convention. We got looks like all four of us are going to be up at from
Awesome.
Homebrewed are going to be there. So with a 6-foot table, we're going to have to take shifts. So
Right.
I plan to make the most of the networking at the convention. Chris and I'll do a lot of networking, I'm sure. And I'm going to hit the tables, damn it. We're at a casino, so
Right.
that's my happy place. So I will definitely, you will find me in the evenings at the casino,
That worked.
throwing down. So if there's a poker room, I haven't researched yet, but if there's a poker room,
That's
y'all
where you'll
have a great
be.
convention, I'll be at the poker
You have
room.
casinos in Texas?
No, there are no casinos in
Okay.
Texas. There's a poker room about 15 minutes from my house that I go to. And I'm, like when you were talking about Dash Hooper, he was at a convention that we didn't know each other at that point, so we didn't meet. But he was at the same convention as I was in Oklahoma a little while back, Texoma Comic Con, and it happened to be at the Choctaw Casino and Hotel Convention Center type thing. And so that was the big draw for me to do that convention. I'm not going to lie to you. My wife and I have been there once previous, and she had already leveled up in there, and because she uses,
Ooh, good
she's good
point.
eye, she does all those infernal machines, and so you can get the points real quick. So I made her go with me to that convention so we could get a free hotel room, and she's like,
Hey.
"All right, well, yeah, free hotel room there for the weekend," and then she had fun at the casino while I was slinging books.
Yeah,
So
I'm gonna have to figure out my hotel room up there. I haven't done that yet. The hotel
I was
there is
looking
expensive,
today.
but
I was looking today. The hotel for the casino is very expensive, but there are other casino, other hotels down the street that have
okay.
free shuttles to the convention center.
Ooh.
So, so I will be doing one of those, which honestly is the smartest move for me because if I'm staying on the property, I'll wake up at 2 in the morning, go, let's go gamble, and wake
And
up
then
and go to bed at like 5 a.m. and wake up at 7 to go do the. I'm
to the
so
show.
about that. Hotels, cruise ships, that'll happen to me.
Yeah, cruise ships. Yep. I love a good cruise too.
Yeah,
That
man.
we need to
Sorry,
do
we're
it.
totally off subject with
We
Dan,
are, but that's fine.
but it's
Yeah.
all
Who
good.
wants to talk comics?
Oh,
We're
shit.
talking, gambling, but
Absolutely.
I love to gamble. I just can't afford to gamble. Even when I
It's
did have a
true.
job, I can't afford to gamble, but that's all right.
Well, I didn't gamble for a lot of years. Like, I took a break from it when I got married. My girlfriend then, became my fiance, then wife. When they moved in with me, I said, okay, I'm not going to gamble. I got, the wife and two new kids in the house that I've got to feed. And
Yeah.
so I stopped gambling for years, but now they're 21 and 25 and out of the house. And so I'm like, hell yeah, we're going to have some fun. I've taken them to the casino and stuff. They enjoy it, they
That's
really
awesome.
do. Yeah.
I've threatened to take my oldest. I have a 25-year-old daughter. Well, she'll be
Okay.
25 in 2 months. I've threatened to take her to one. We haven't done it. Well, we did. We actually did last year. We went to Deadwood.
Okay.
Because I try to go to Oklahoma once a year. I'm still trying to figure out when that's going to be this summer, because I have a bunch of family in Oklahoma City,
Gotcha.
and so I'll get to meet Dash because he's really close to there, and then I'll probably shoot down to you guys.
That'll be awesome. Yeah, if you come to by Austin, well, come on.
All right. Yeah, I'll let you know.
Absolutely.
But last year we spent like 9 days in Oklahoma City. Then we went up to Deadwood. We spent another 9 days in Deadwood, South Dakota, and like went to Mount Rushmore and all that. But they had a casino there, and my daughter and I played three card poker for like 5 minutes and then walked out. We won like $20 and got out.
So I was just in Vegas for work, and my grandfather was a musician, and he used to live in LA. And he would play Vegas from time to time. And when he did, he stayed at the Golden Nugget. He played there. He loved roulette. He always played the 000. And I play those numbers for when I play.
Wow. Roulette.
And so I'm in the casino, and I said to myself, and I got one of my coworkers with me. She's like 26, right? And the Nugget's like right downtown. It's kind of a crazy, shady joint, you know? And so she's staying right by my side. And we're laughing and we're playing and we're having a good time at the roulette. We're winning, you know, we're making some money. And I said to her, I think it's time for a stupid and futile gesture. And I tossed a $100 chip to the dealer and I said, put that on the line, 000. And it hit. I put $15 down on each of the zero, the zero and the double zero, both the greens. So it hit on those $525, and then it hit for the line pay for the 100, it paid another $1,700. So I walked out of there with like $2,200.
That's awesome.
And I was like, all right. And when I said to the dealer, I said, before it spun, I said, if it hits, I'm giving you $200. And the pit boss said, what? I said, if it hits, I'm giving you 100. And they're like, come on, let's go. You know, I mean,
they hit a button and made sure it hit, apparently.
Yeah, right. They hit that spring in there or whatever, but it hit. And so I thank you, Grandpa, for the awesome hit. If it was going to happen anywhere, it was going to happen there at that moment.
Right. I love things like that. Sure. That's awesome. But we can get back to a little bit of comic stuff.
Yeah, let's talk comics. Sorry.
No, it's all good, man.
My hobby over here, you know.
Hey, these are all hobbies within hobbies, right?
Sure.
You know, and we get to combine all that stuff when we go to these conventions. They're so much fun to go to and meet people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sell books. And now that we're getting to sell books and, you know, we've had our book for, you know, 6 weeks and we're selling like crazy, you know, not crazy, but, you know, we're having fun doing it. We're breaking even on a table sometimes. We'll see. This will be our first 3-day convention next weekend or this weekend. So that'll be interesting. I'm hoping we do, you know, pretty well being 3 days and a lot more popular.
It is, you know, my old rule of thumb at a convention is nobody came there to see me. It is my job to make them remember Bigfoot Knows Karate by the time they leave. That's rule number one. Number two, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Expect Friday to be not as busy as Saturday. Expect Sunday not to be as, you know, around as busy as Friday if you're lucky. You know what I mean? But you'll find that people on 3-day passes will buy on Sunday a little harder. So it is just a matter of, you know, just, you know, look, every person's a potential sale. And I mean, and I don't know, I'm one of those people, I stand up. I do not sit down behind the table. I stand up and I'm not aggressive, but I'm going to get your attention.
Yeah, and we started, we have these little handouts or, you know, just like little for about the podcast, right? And we hand, everybody walks by, you know, it's like, hey, you like podcasts? Here, try this. And then I get to tell them, and I have banners that match this in the background. And, you know, I get to tell them, hey, you know, my daughter and I do a podcast, just something fun for her and I. And they love that. That gets her attention because you're
absolutely
doing something with your kid to inspire them. And then, you know, it's like, yeah, but I also get to interview all these cool people that are, you know, in the background, right? I have a bunch of people in the background. And I'm like, you know, I got to interview all these cool people and they inspired me to write my own comic book. You know, and then I point to it, it's on the table, right? And they're like, oh, that's cool. So then they get to pick it up, and yeah, that seemed to, you know, it's cool how you develop your pitch, you know, as you're going. You know, what's your pitch at your table?
What's my pitch?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, nice shirt. Well, come over here, let me talk to you. You know, I don't know.
Nice shirt.
Yeah, now, but look, I mean, if somebody's wearing like a Godzilla shirt or a Bigfoot shirt or a Kong or something like that, yeah, I'll use that.
That's a great point. I didn't think about that. Well, I did because this cover here is a Thor cover. Well, actually, I got one where I can reach it. Colin signed it.
Very cool. I know that cover, Journey into Mystery.
Yeah. Journey into Mystery 83. It's first appearance of Thor.
Sure.
Colin Hawkins from Nuff Said Books. I don't know if you guys follow each other. He's pretty cool. I got to meet him. He lives in like Illinois, but he went to South Carolina Comic Con and we just drove down there for the day just to meet him. Cause he sent me that as just fan art one day. He turned our little mascot into Thor because he knew I'm a Thor fan. I was like, well, you got to finish that. So now anytime I turned it into a t-shirt too.
Very cool.
Now every time I see somebody that's like Thor, you know, that gets them to the table for sure.
Absolutely. And
the kid, you know, of course she did a cover. So she has no problem talking to people too. So
she's very outgoing and meeting her at NCCon. She's a nice kid, man.
She is coming out of her shell and it's been amazing and I love it.
But, yeah. You know. I think the podcast is because I see the show from time to time or clips,
right?
Yeah. Or whatever, you know, and it's like, you know, it's neat watching her totally get into it. It is. It's a lot of fun.
It's so much fun. And she's found something she's passionate about. So I'm just going to support it as much as she wants, you know, and try to protect her in it at the same time. But
absolutely.
That's, you know, that's the parent's role, you know.
Absolutely.
Try to do that. And that's the cool thing about when we go to these shows. I don't make her sit at the table all day. It's like, hey, you know, come and go from the table, hang out some. But if you want to go walk around, like, you know, my wife or somebody will be with me. She can go, come and go from the table as she pleases. So it gives her, it doesn't feel like a job for her. Right.
Right.
So, you know, I might have, when we get like famous, I'll be like, all right, you got to be here. Like, you know, at least these 2 hours or something. We'll have a sign on the table. Annika will be here from 2 to 4 and that's it.
Doing her signing, right?
For a signing.
The line fills up starting at 1:20.
Yeah, that would be amazing. We'll see. We'll get there one day.
I have to usually like wear a patch. You can see I vape. I have to wear a patch during conventions a lot of the time. If I don't want to leave, I'm like, I have to patch up.
I have the same problem. I smoke.
I miss smoking. I really do. It was such a wonderful time in my life, but it had to end. So
I need to quit, but it's like you just said, I enjoy it way too much to quit. So I have used the like, pouches. That helps some. It's still not perfect, but especially when I'm like on a plane ride.
Yeah.
That's the worst. But
no, see, I patch up for plane rides too.
Yeah.
And that I just get the lowest dose of nicotine and just use that. And it just works like a champion. It's good. It gets me through an international flight, no problem. So yeah, I mean, like I never really have a craving or anything like that. I might find myself doing this, you know, but
yeah,
nothing to do.
Yeah, but it's the hobby of her, you know, the
that hand to mouth, that whole thing is
sensation.
Ridiculous. But but the conventions, I mean, yeah, they're fun, dude. You know, I mean, I'm doing less this year than I normally do just because my work travel schedule's so insane this year. But I am trying to get out there and get the word out, always trying to get the word out. I mean, at this point, we're got to be edging closer to 6,000 units sold on Bigfoot Knows Karate.
Awesome.
And it's like, and so like I did two like appearances in the last month. I did a free comic book day and I did another smaller pop-up. You know, and I like to go do the big conventions, don't get me wrong, but God, there's something really nice about just being able to drive from my house, go do the thing, come home. You know, even Chris is coming down in November. He's coming down for just a one-day convention in San Antonio. He's going to fly in on the Friday, do the show, send him back home on Sunday.
Awesome.
The tables are cheap at this convention, so I got two tables. You know, and so we can really spread out and sell and do our thing and have a good time doing it. So,
yeah, the pop-ups are a lot of fun. We did a free comic book day. That was so much fun. Went way better than I expected it to. Like, that was amazing. And then last weekend, or 2 days ago, Saturday, we put they had a community yard sale in the neighborhood. So I just set my booth up at the end of the driveway.
That's hilarious.
I sold 2 books to neighbors, though.
That's hilarious.
I mean, that's all I sold, but I got this new like spinner display. I got like a Lazy Susan and some of those cubes because I didn't have a good way to display prints. They were just laying flat, kind of fanned out on the table, and they weren't selling. Like, I sold like one out of like the shows we've done the last 2 months. And I'm like, man, the profit's too good on these for these just not to make any money. So I got the spinner display where I can hang them up and you can spin them and see there all the prints. So I wanted to test that theory out before I drove to Michigan this weekend. So I was like, oh, why not? I'll set it up. And then Annika set up a little lemonade stand, and we sold $2 and about 6 cups of lemonade. So
that's great. The it's funny, 1 year, my wife, we have a tradition of just sitting on our driveway during Halloween and giving out candy there. And so I have a wrestling belt for the comic book. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Okay. So I have this wrestling belt. And so she's like, are you going to dress up? And I said, no, but I've got the belt. And I brought the belt out to the table just as a joke for her. Well, all the neighbors started coming by and they're like, what's with the belt? And they're all taking photos with it and stuff like that. And she's like, you should go grab some comics and sell your comics. Like, I'm not going to sell comics on the driveway. You know what I mean? Like, and you proved me like I've been wrong here, man.
When you don't have a job, you need all the money you can get. You peddle your books in the driveway.
There you go, man. Yeah, dude. No, I never thought about it before. And now you've shown me the light. Maybe next Halloween I need to
go. We did get a lot of weird looks, though. We're like, people drive up and they're like, is he got like a booth? Because I got a tablecloth with the logo, the Talking Comics podcast. And they're like, podcast? Like, okay. And then they just walk to the neighbors. They wouldn't even come up to us.
That's hilarious. I love it.
It was great. Well, tell us, we got to talk about something about your book. I know you talked about the Kickstarter stuff, but where did it all originate? Where did you come up with the whole idea?
Okay, so good thing Annika's not on the pod.
All right, yep.
Because this is where it gets hairy. So I did my first comics, I'll skip ahead a little bit to when I'm 30. I did my first full-length comic when I was 30 years old, and it was called Latex Avenger. And Latex Avenger had a sidekick, Spermicidal Foam Lad, and together they repelled crime 99.9% of the time. That was my intro into comics. I did that series for a while. Do I have any here? I'll show you what they look like. I got an old business card right here. So this was Latex Avenger, Spermicidal Foam Lad, and Sexy Nurse America. Okay. So these were some of the characters from the thing. And anyway, so I did that series for a while, 7 or 8 issues, I guess. And used to give out like condoms with my logo on them at conventions as my convention giveaway. That was dope. Honestly, I'm still think that was cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, it was really funny. Obviously, the kids were not allowed to have those, but it was, look, it was a fun book. A lot of eye rolls, a lot of people calling me names, and there's some folks, one lady called me Godless. That was awesome. And so it got some reactions. A lot of it had a little cult following there for a while. It was fun. And that got the attention of a company called Hound Comics. And they had me do a series. Another thing that I had been working on called Masters of the Obvious. And Masters was a sci-fi space parody. You had characters like Dr. Biclops. He has two eyes. The Visible Woman. You can't miss her. And they flew around in a battle toaster, having pop culture adventures throughout the galaxy. Just very much the same same sense of humor as Latex Avenger, just PG-13. And I mean, there was like the Pugalos and, like pug dogs that were juggalos. And there were the My Little Jabronis. They were like ponies that were mafioso and, stuff like that. And then after that, I did a thing for the Stan Lee Foundation and POW Entertainment after that. But then in about 2014, I came up with the idea for Bigfoot Knows Karate. And it was a comedy and it lived in that universe. And it was terrible. It was terrible. It wasn't funny. It didn't work. It didn't jive. And so I just said, forget it. And I pinned the name, the title, Bigfoot Knows Karate. I pinned that up to my pin board, my trusty pin board here. And it stayed there for about 3 years, collecting dust, until about 2017 when I started doodling the character again. And this time he had like gaunt eyes and this warrior expression. And I was like, if you're the only one of your kind, the only one of your species, nobody knows you exist and nobody cares, what would that do to you? What would that do to your psyche? By the way, you're like 10 foot tall, covered in fur, and no martial arts. And that was kind of like the impetus to get this thing going. And KC Allen, my co-writer, had been up my ass for a while going, hey, dude, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with this? Because I've been drawing it on Instagram. Just doodles, you know, little poses and stuff. And so he said, when you get to a point, I'll be your editor. I said, okay. So I wrote this big old Bible of information about the character in the book and what it was going to be. And it could not be this trite martial arts, revenge flick. It couldn't be that. Like, that's not what I wanted to do. We've seen that story. We've seen how that works. Awesome to those people who have written that over and over again. I wanted something different. So I write this Bible of shit and I give it to Casey and I just kind of drop it on his lap and go, go figure it out, you know? And he did, you know, he started putting it into pieces, you know, getting it kind of worked out, and we worked on it together and just kind of, you know, he was the one who coined the phrase Kung Fu Thulu for the bad guy in issue one. And, you know, and it was just like, he said the name and I said, give me, like, I'll see you tomorrow. And I came back the next morning with all these sketches of the character, you know, and we've just really worked well together. And so I did like the first 8 pages of the book as a kind of a proof of concept of what the book would look like and what it would be. And I sent those to Casey and I said, this is what I'm thinking. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah. And we just kind of went from there. And the story gets very metaphysical. There's a lot of astral projection, a lot of introspection. There's a lot of philosophy. You know, I mean, people expect this thing to be Kung Fu Panda. You know, they think it's right. Going to be funny. And it's not. I mean, it's got jokes in it, but it's not what it's about. It's a very serious story about a very serious character who's lost in his own world, trying to figure out, you know, his own agency and, you know, where he sits in this whole scenario that he's been thrown into. And he makes some friends along the way, you know, whether it's, you know, Iris or, you know, this young lady who was in the same complex that he was and they escaped together. Or, you know, there's this chupacabra with a shotgun in the series that, you know, they become tight. And, you know, there's a little bunny that has been running around in the series since page one of the first issue. So, you know, what started off as this lonely figure in the first issue has turned into a freaking team book at this point. You know what I mean? It's like, it really has. I mean, you got this bunny and this chupacabra and this, you know, gun wielding, you know, shoot 'em up lady. And, you know, and then this 10 foot tall, you know, martial artist, you know? So it's been a lot of fun, but it's not spoon fed storyline. We don't give it to you, you know, and like, okay, we're going to lay it out A, B, C, and we're just going to go down the line and make it very, no, we don't do that. We make you work for it. There's a lot of symbolism in the stories. You know, there's little breadcrumbs everywhere, especially in the main series. And there'll be breadcrumbs from the main series into Godkiller and Godkiller vice versa. It all ties into each other. But if you were to read Godkiller by itself or Hinnegan by themselves, it would be, you could read the book and enjoy the story. But if you've read the main series, it just shows so much more to what you're reading. Is that that was a long answer to your question?
Hey, that was a great answer, I thought.
All right, you know, let's just go.
Are you going to have copies of Godkiller at Terrificon, you think?
I hope so. That's August?
Okay. August.
Maybe. We'll see.
One of the cool things you got to do, because your book, and I'm looking for it, your Bigfoot is in my book, too.
Oh, yeah?
I remember asking you in November. So one of the cool ideas, because part of my story is set in a comic shop, we were trying to figure out what are the comics that are on the shelf. And it's getting dark in here and I can't see, but somewhere in this book is, I'm pretty sure, I know Crit's in here, I'm pretty sure Bigfoot knows.
It is. Mike had shown me the page.
And yeah, so we got to use your cover as, you know, in the book, which I thought was really cool. And I'm not gonna, you know, gonna for some reason not gonna find it at the moment. But yeah, of course it's not on that page. There's Kid Nebula and Celestial Knights in here.
But, love D, love Dennis. Yeah.
But that was a really cool thing, you know, to, you know, be able to use that and have it in here and have it, you know, just as a little sneak peek. Is there it is. Bigfoot Knows Karate. It's right there.
There it is.
On the shelf with Panel Pete.
Yeah, next to the Clint book there. That's super cool. Panel Pete, man.
So that was pretty cool. I love my little story, my little one-shot, and I love that it's a one-shot, and I can do I eventually want to do more one-shots. I got to have some money. Got to sell some comics, and I can pay for the next comic. So
that's what I've been doing at these cons lately, is like I've just been making sales to pay for more pages, to make more books. It's kind of like that old commercial, you know, I do cocaine so I can work harder, so I can make more money, so I can do more cocaine. Okay. It's the same concept, except I'm making comic books and I'm walking around in a circle, you know, but it's with less cocaine.
How did you get teamed up with Homebrew?
Okay, with Homebrewed. So I knew Chris and Dennis more so than I knew Drew, but I've known all three of them since 21, probably 2020, 2021, all through Instagram. Okay. And so like Dennis and I connected first. I was aware of Drew's stuff because I had seen Caspian Porter. I think I even backed it before I even knew him, you know, and he did a Sci-Fi Tales thing and some other stuff, you know, and he was tied into Indie Comics Dispatch too. And so I was really aware of Drew. Dennis was doing stuff for Jason Farrow's The Convictor, and that's when I met Dennis. And Chris I was aware of, but we weren't connected for a long time. And then, one of us friended the other one on Instagram. We started following each other. And I really dug, like, you can't beat Drew's know-how, Dennis's enthusiasm, and Chris's just mind for this shit. Okay. Right. You can't ignore that. And Chris and I really got into each other for the marketing of it all at first. You know, we were really just picking each other's brains. And I mean, I had an idea. He took that. He had an idea. I took that. You know what I mean? Like just sharing each other's playbooks. And that was really cool. They were all tied. The three of them were all tied into a collective. And I had, been, you know, by myself with Casey, but you know, we'd been independent. I was with Lesser Known Comics for a while. Great group of people. Love Lesser Known Comics. If you're not familiar with them, go check out lesserknowncomics.com. Run by Mark Renal, and he has an amazing team underneath him with some incredible creators. So I was with Lesser Known for quite a while, and then it was just time for a change. I wanted to do something different. I just wanted to be back by myself again. And so, you know, left on good terms with Lesser Now. And like I said, Mark's incredible. I love the whole group over there. But it was just time to do, you know, focus in on something different. And then, you know, I started talking with Chris, and he was telling me what their plan was. And I was like, well, shit. All right, you know. And I said, all right, well, you got, how much is it to join? You know, I mean, just joking around, but you know, and so, you know, we talked and had a little meeting of the minds on that. So he and Drew had started it in January, and they brought me in, and then Dennis came in a month later. And so it's been the four of us ever since. And it's been great. You know, we all, you know, I think Chris and I really kind of solidified our friendship, or like at least mutual respect for each other. You know, we're friends now. I mean, he's my boy, you know, but I mean, at the beginning we did a live launch party on Instagram together. I had already announced my date for book two, and he was like, well, crud, that was the same day I was going to do. So he reached out to me and said, hey, you want to launch together? So we did. And we hadn't seen anybody try that before, and he had a good following. I have a good following. So it was like, let's just give this a shot. And we each had, I think, $2,000 goals for that those campaigns. And we funded them in like 15, 20 minutes. Wow. So it was like just...
How many people did you have on your pre-launch?
I want to say about 100 to 150.
Okay.
That's usually that where seems I about right. Pre-watch. Yeah, that's usually
that's what I'm seeing. You know, like you're funding in, you know, 3 hours, right? Like we did a very modest $500 goal just because I wanted it to fund, right? Like I didn't want to stress about it not funding because I already had the book in my hand. You know, I went to the print shop, printed this thing, have boxes on the floor here of this book before I even launched my Kickstarter, right? Because I wanted to prove to people, because it's my first Kickstarter, I'm a year into this whole thing, you know, just over a year in. I wanted to prove to people like, hey, I'm not just trying to get your money and run, never fulfill. It's here, you know, let's get it out and fund it. So,
you know,
and I appreciate you backed it too. I appreciate that. Hopefully you got your email with your digital copy the other day.
I'll have to go back and look. It's on my Yahoo account. So I got to go look and see. I have all my Kickstarter accounts go to one, to all that stuff go to one. And then I have my business account over there because otherwise I'd just be inundated with Kickstarter information all day long. You know how it is. You get back the Kickstarters. So I'll go back and take a look through that. Looking forward to it.
I appreciate that.
No, so it is. Yeah, I mean, Kickstarter's crazy. I mean, my first campaign, we only asked for $1,000, same concept. I just wanted to make sure it funded. And I mean, and it did, it went great. The, you know, you want to fund quickly in order to get up the algorithm. That's like a really big thing. And like, I've been on projects we love, I want to say like two or three times now. And that works okay, but I don't really see much of a difference either. I know everybody's trying to get it, but I don't really see the how absolutely important it is. We don't have projects we love on this campaign and that we're doing right now, which is fine. You know, it's still going all right.
Yeah,
it's still funded. I mean,
and it's going almost $6,000. So
yeah, almost. You know, we're halfway. You know, we're half. What are we at? Like 55 and change. Yeah. 54 and 49. So, you know,
so maybe that's something I'll look into, like, because, you know, I went completely out of pocket for, you know, my book, but maybe that's something for the next book. I might work on that following, try to get that following up, and then maybe I can do a, you know, $3,000 goal to cover the artwork and the printing cost, and, you know, at least break even on the Kickstarter and have another book, right?
Sure. You know, it's I've never. Well, I mean, it's different when you're doing it yourself than when it is when you bring in an artist. It changes the whole system of everything. Like drawing the issue 1 through 3, I can ask for a lesser goal, you know.
Right.
I could have done 1,000, 1,500, 2,000, or 1,000, 2,000, 2,500, something like that. Something like that. I think 2,000 may be my highest before this one. And, but, you know, you want to get, you know, you want to cover as much of it as you can. I mean, I have my goal that I put out for Kickstarter, and then I have, like, my real goal. You know what I mean? Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, I always have a real goal sitting in the background somewhere, you know. If it's 2,000 that I'm asking for, I'm really trying to get to 5. You know what I mean?
Or
whatever it is, you know. And that's always the goal, is to hit over 5 for me. If we can get to 6 on this campaign, that'll be awesome. You know, that'll be awesome. And I mean, the most I've ever funded on a campaign is 7,200. So, you know, love to get to that mark again, but it's not easy. I mean, during when we did 7,200, it was like, you know, sadly, it was during the height of COVID and everybody was staying at home reading comic books, backing Kickstarters. You know, they all got their check and they were like, woo, running around doing that. And so, I mean, it's kind of weird to say, you know, the best time was COVID, you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's so sad and eerie and, you know, it's one of those weird things because we're all in the lockdown. And my wife says to me, why don't you make a comic? It's been years since you've made a comic, you know? And I was like, all right, you know, here we go. Bigfoot knows karate now. And because I didn't do anything with the character. And then like in 2020, you know, my wife said, hey, go make a comic book. All right. And, you know, off to the races we were. But, you know, once the lockdown ended, like the creator number dropped and the backer dropped because people went back outside again. They didn't need to make comics anymore. They had lives. You know what I mean? And it was like, this was something to fill their time. Right. And then there were the rest of us, the ones who are still here and sticking it out and making books. And I'm not diminishing anybody who made a book.
Right.
Out. That's totally fine. You fulfill the dream. It was probably a bucket list thing or something. You know, I want to make one comic before I die kind of thing. And that's how it was with me and Latex Avenger. I just wanted to prove to myself I could do it, you know. And now, however many issues of books later, I mean, how many books I've worked on for other creators, I mean, covers and interiors and stories, and you add it all up, I've got like two short boxes full of crap that I've worked on over the years, you know.
That's awesome.
Those are duplicates and variants and things like that. But it's like I have a box of Latex Avenger and miscellaneous, and then I have a box of Bigfoot stuff, you know, that has every cover and every everything. Save a couple copies for yourself, because one day you might actually amount to something. Who knows, you know?
You never know. I will get you. You'll get a copy in August when I see you.
Absolutely.
I owe all you guys a copy that let me use their cover. So.
All right. That's, yeah. Now I'm looking forward to that. We'll do a trade. We'll get you Humbered Zero or something like that. Yeah, those are cool, man.
Yeah, that was a cool thing. And when Dennis did that Burlap Kills the Indie Universe, that was hilarious. I loved being a part of that too.
That was neat. Yeah. That was cool. I had to think about it for a second. Dennis does so much cool shit for the indie community. I mean, he really does. He's got the best heart for it. He thoroughly enjoys supporting other indie creators and doing artwork for them and putting them into things. And
right.
He's amazing. I mean, the guy has he's got chops. He's just got chops. Amazing artist chops. It's incredible. I love where, I mean, like, do I have, oh yeah. Well here, like this piece right here, this was Dennis Valencia, this Bigfoot Sin City vibe. Yeah. That's nice, man. He just did a thing for me. It was a take on Dark Knight number two, Dark Knight Returns number two, and where he did a Benny drawing, a Bigfoot drawing in the Frank Miller style from Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. Beautiful. So he's incredible, dude. He did a cover for me for Hinnegan. He did the gold foil Hinnegan cover. So really good stuff.
I had backed a few weeks ago Jeff Haas's book. Dennis did a cover for that book, so I backed that from him. Dennis is get two birds with one stone, because Jeff's the reason I do all these podcast interviews, because he sent me Chris the first. Was, you know, I don't know if you know this. Chris was the first person I ever interviewed.
Yeah, you had mentioned last year, right?
And so it was really cool when Jeff Haas reached out to me and said, "Hey, why don't you interview Chris?" I'm like, "I'll try it," you know. And Chris was very supportive, you know, of me, and it just. Here I am. This will be episode 117, I think. 117 episodes later, that's we're still awesome. Interviewing. So that's pretty cool. It's been a lot
that
of fun.
That is pretty cool.
Do you have any, like, I have my fun questions that I'll ask you real quick, because you can't get away without asking those. But before that, do you have anything that we didn't talk about that you want to talk about, or anything else we need to cover?
Well, I mean, I guess on the Kickstarter, I'd like to mention, you know, the different versions we have.
Okay,
of the
book.
We have the digital version. I think it's $5. We have the regular print version. It's $10, and that's the 24-page story. Then we have the deluxe edition, which will include the 24-page story as well as the link to a director's commentary video where we go through the book page by page, and you can get an insight as to what we're doing, why we did it, things like that, as well as a fan art gallery that'll be in the back of the book, right? So in the deluxe edition, we'll have probably about eight pieces or so in the back of deluxe. And then there'll be some preview pages too, hopefully in all editions, but there'll be at least in the deluxe, there's going to be preview pages for chapter 4. We have a foil, hollow foil edition. Okay. So the A cover was done by Justin Adcock. Got to say that. B cover, the deluxe edition, was done by Jeremy Martinez, Jeremy the artist, incredible artist from Austin. And then Mo Lubison did our hollow foil cover, which is just awesome. I mean, it's just beautiful work. And then I did the metal cover. So we have a metal cover for the first time. We're trying that out. It sold really well on our early bird, and it's been doing great. Yeah. Really happy with it. Really happy with it. So check out the different versions of the book. We got lots to choose from. And if you want, you can even buy a wrestling belt on there. So
we can own our own wrestling belt for Bigfoot Knows Karate.
Own your own wrestling belt for Bigfoot Knows Karate. $450 gets you a belt signed and all the versions of the book.
Okay. Not this time. Not in the cards for
me. Fair enough.
Not yet. Maybe when let me sell a few more of my comic to make up for
that. Fair enough.
We'll get there. But we're gonna have a blast in August for 3 days.
Looking forward to it for sure.
I can't wait to hang out with Mike all day and then you guys right next door. It'll be a great time.
Absolutely.
All right. So here's my fun questions that you got to answer. Who was your first favorite superhero or comic character?
Superman.
Love it.
Superman.
Do you remember the first comic book you ever read?
X-Men 207, Marvel Saga number 8, and Marvel Universe number 8.
Did you prepare for these questions?
Nope.
I
just remember that day that I bought my first comics. I rode my bike from my house down to my friend Carlos, and I rode our bikes down from our houses to the Stop and Go, picked them up off the spinner rack. Then we rode our bikes to another 7-Eleven type, newsstand place. And we picked up some more stuff and sat in the parking lot reading our comic books. And I was like really grateful to Carlos because he got me into all this crap. And, I still talk to him to this day. He collects Golden Age books. That's his big thing.
Awesome.
Yeah. He collects like original Captain Marvels and stuff like that. He's way into
that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Do you have a favorite current series?
Not really. I mean, outside of indie stuff, like Marvel, DC, no. No, the last good thing that I read from a major publisher was, I don't know if it's the last good thing, but the one that really sticks to my brain was The Last Ronin by Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
thing. I have it. I haven't read it. I have the graphic novel.
It's so good.
It's
so good. If I had to recommend some indie series, though, stuff that I read that I thoroughly enjoy, I'm a big Crit fan. I can't say enough about the whole Homebrewed line, but I would sound like a shill if I just sat there and talked about Homebrewed stuff. End of Days by Jerry Cooley is a really cool book. It's kind of like Jack the Ripper meets Supernatural, and very cool stuff. Let me think what else. Anything Jade Lauder does, I'm all about him, man. He does, it's a book called It's a Horror Show. And that's from Apollo City, LKC. And he does It's a Horror Show. And he has another one that goes coming out called Not Enough Blood that I'm really looking forward to that one. The guys over at, there's a guy, Jesse Souza, has a book coming out that I've seen a preview of. Do you know Jesse?
Well, I was on a podcast with Jesse a few Saturdays ago. I was one of four guests. He was one of the other ones.
Yeah, Jesse's amazing.
You did the same show like the next weekend, I think. Edward Davis's show, I think.
Yeah, okay. Ed's, I was just on Ed's
Saturday morning. So
that's where I met Dash, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jesse's got a book that I saw a preview of that Roy, his buddy Roy, hooked me up with. I just got to see it. I haven't gotten a copy yet. La Chancla. And I cannot wait to get my hands on a copy of this freaking book, dude. It looks incredible. So those are some things that I would recommend to folks. I'm trying to think about anything else. Oh, and I just bought this recently. Cages by Dave McKean. If you know, this is a big ass book.
That's a big book.
Yeah. Cages by Dave McKean. He was the cover artist on The Sandman. If you remember The Sandman back in the day. And this is an old book. I had a few of the loose issues when it first came out, but I found a collected edition online and I had to buy it. So those are some things I'd recommend.
Awesome. Hey, that's awesome. We get to talk about indie stuff because that's what we do. Homebrew, anything by Homebrew Comics or my book too, Chronicles of Pan of PE, by mine too. We got to plug our own books, right?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I'd say I'm a big fan of Bigfoot Knows Karate, but I mean, you know, I'm too close to it to actually ever say that. I don't even have that baby mentality when it comes to my book. Oh, it's my baby. No.
No?
No, I don't.
It's still hard for me to believe I have a comic book
right.
that I wrote. Like, that's so just cool, the weirdest. It is very cool, but I've never been a writer. I've never been anything like that. But to see it in my background and on my desk and, you know, go to these shows and, like, I wrote a comic book is very weird for me.
This was the very first comic I did. I'll show you that. This was,
I love that.
If you can see it.
Yeah.
This was it.
That's amazing.
Oh my God. It's an insane concept to have your own book and that you actually did it. It's yours. You know, nobody can take that away. And like getting that proof in and just sitting there looking at it and like, holy shit, this is real.
Dude, getting all those pages once a week from Mike, you know, as an Instagram message and zooming in, looking at it and like was amazing every single time. And then doing the layout was amazing, like the whole time. And going to the print shop and like going through the layout and getting samples and seeing samples like in print was so cool. But when that first one, that one right there, that's the first one off the machine. There's a sign on the back of it. But when that first one came off the machine and was like, and I'm looking at it in person, like, it looked so much better than it ever looked before. Right. It's like I've seen these pages 1,000 times each.
Right.
But it's amazing that this is in print. And like looking at it, it's, I don't know. It was crazy. I could Google about it for years.
When I got the Bigfoot Knows Karate proofs for issue one, those things stayed under my arm for like a week, just going through them and editing and just checking them out and just looking at them all the time. My wife thought I was nuts and she's like, put the whoopee down. You know, I'm like, no, it's my whoopee. You can't take this away from me, woman. No,
that's right.
No, she was, my wife has been so unbelievably supportive of this whole thing. It's been incredible. She really has. She travels with me to conventions. Awesome. She doesn't go to conventions. Like, she doesn't hang out. That's not her thing. But she'll come with me, set up. We'll go to, you know, if I'm in D.C. or Charlotte or whatever, she's like, yeah, I'll go to Brooklyn. Let's go. She comes with me, sets me up. She goes and hangs out in the city for a couple of days wherever we are. We hang out at dinner every night. She comes out with, you know, all the other creators and stuff, or we go have a date night or whatever. And, you know, she's just, you know, she likes to bag and board. I love that because I hate it. And I bag and board every book I get. So it's like,
right. Me too.
Yeah. Got to get the merch. So anyway.
Yep. All right. If you could live in any comic book universe, which one would you choose?
Goodness. That's a, honestly, The World of Optic Nerve by Adrian Tomine. If you've never heard of Optic Nerve, it's a slice of life book. Okay. There's no superheroes. There's nothing like that. It's just real people dealing with real problems and put in awkward situations. Frankly, I don't want to live in a world with superheroes, to be frank. That sounds terrible.
Right.
You throw some giant through your apartment building or something like that, then you got to deal with the aftermath. I'm good. Now, I'll just deal with people being petty in Adrian Tomine's world. So, but if any of y'all have never read Optic Nerve, go check it out. It's absolutely brilliant. It hasn't come out in years, but you can find old issues online.
Sweet. If you could have a superpower, what would you choose?
Oh, probably flight.
Me too.
Probably flight. You know, that'd be fun. I mean, invisibility would be kind of neat. You can steal things. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. That would be cool. Claws coming out of your hands. That's kind of fun. But, I mean, I'm a superhero. I'm a Superman guy, you know, back to 3 years old. So probably flight.
Yeah, flight. Love it. All right. Which comic book character, could be any character, would you want as your personal sidekick? And you can say Bigfoot.
I think if I had to pick one superhero as my sidekick, Bucky. I want Bucky, but I don't want Winter Soldier. I want dead Bucky. Okay. Because Bucky was supposed to stay dead. That was the rule. Of all the characters to live and die, Bucky was supposed to stay dead. And whatever that dude's, whoever came up with the Winter Soldier, ruined it. Just ruined it. He should have stayed dead. So I want dead Bucky with me. So
yeah, the old school Bucky was a good character.
Yeah, sure. I'm not really bagging on Winter Soldier, but it's not really. But I liked the fact that Bucky stayed dead. Same thing with Jason Todd. I hate the fact that he's alive.
There you go.
I voted for him to die in the comic book. You could call in to does he live DC? Or die? I voted for that kid to die. I was like 13, 12 years old. I was like, get rid of him. He died, you know.
Wow. The
worst part about it was that issue that he died in came out the same month my father died. And I was like, I was all sad after that. But anyway, whatever. It was just a weird happenstance how things right? work, you know.
Yeah, I lost my father when I was 15. So that was, it was a rough time.
Sorry to hear that, man. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, it's rough.
It is. It was. Yeah. But, you know, that was 20 years ago? 20? Yeah. No, 30 years ago? Jesus, sure. I'm old.
Good God. Yeah. No, I get it. It's been 30-something years since my father passed. But, yeah, no, 38 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. But that's okay. All right, this is a good one, and you have to remember this for, you know, months from now when you come back on. But
okay.
If your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Oh. Daniarisms. Daniarisms, the story of a, you know, out of place artist or something like that, but it would be Daniarisms. I've already written a lot of it, to be honest with you. The idea was something for when I first got married and having stepkids. That was the impetus of the story of like this confirmed bachelor going to marriage and having children around him. And the hook was all my comic characters were in the story too. Okay. So like all the Masters of the Obvious characters were allowed to be around the kids because they were PG-13 characters, but like Latex Avenger and Spermicidal Foam Lad couldn't show up unless it was after the kids had gone to bed. So there'd be scenes with, you know, the character, you know, all right, I'm going to bed. Good night. All right. Love you too. And they go up the stairs and like the door opens up. Is he gone? You know, and all that. But it was like one page panel, you know, one page comics mixed with like 12 page comics, you know, just depending cool. on what it was. It was something that I had worked on for a while. I probably have about 60 pages of it written, but, I've never done anything with it.
Anthology book.
Yeah. I mean,
Erica wrote a zine. She saw a zine at a convention and cool. We came home and she's like, how did they make that? And I was like, so I took a piece of paper and I folded it up, cut it, you know, showed her, like handed her this blank.
Right.
And she ran to the other room and came back like 2 hours later and she wrote an 8-page panel Pete goes to the moon and illustrated awesome. It. So I inked it digitally and printed it on my black and white printer, you know, 100 copies, and now we sell it at the conventions too. So cool. It was so cool. I love how creative she is, and I hope she keeps it up for the future. I really do. So.
My son did what was it called? Oh my God, something Adams, Sparkling Adams or something like that. He made a comic that was it was called about Adams, and then he did another one that was a Doctor Who zine. That was where he had his own, he created his own companion named Falconson. And
that's awesome.
It was great. I loved it. He was really into Doctor Who when he was young. So that was a lot of fun.
How old were they when you married the mom?
8 and 13.
Okay.
No, 9 and 13. 9 and 13.
9 and 13.
Yeah.
It's a great age.
Oh, they were fun.
They are. I have a, you know, 11-year-old and a 25-year-old. So she was 14 when I had Annika. So that was crazy. And then she grew up and left us out of the house. And now Annika's becoming, you know, the person she is. It's been amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Where can people, so go back to Kickstarter. This will come out on Tuesday. So okay. A week from tomorrow, it'll come out. So we'll still have about 8 days, roughly 6 days, 7 days left on your Kickstarter.
Perfect.
Go back to Kickstarter. Bigfoot Knows Karate God Killer, right?
God Killer, yeah.
God Killer. And I can't wait to read that because I'm a huge, you know, Norse mythology fan. So sure. Hence the Thor stuff. But also homebrewedcomics.com, right?
Homebrewedcomics.com. You can find a direct link from the Kickstarter from there, okay, as well as our shop where you can find Celestial Knight, Caspian Porter, Tin Can, which is a release that was directly on our website by Drew Edwards and Jonathan, some, I can't remember his last name. Excuse me off the top of my head right now. Jonathan Wetmore, sorry. Tin Can by Jonathan Wetmore and Drew Lenhart. Got all these Drews in my head. Right. And then you can also find Crit, Bigfoot Knows Karate. You can find copies of Homebrewed Zero on our website as well. Merch, there's t-shirts and coffee mugs and things of that nature. But you can also, get free downloads over at the website. So check that out as well. If you're looking for another path to find me, go to BigfootKnowsKarate.com. There's direct links to the Kickstarter from there too. But yes, that is where you can find me. Also Instagram and TikTok, DanoMite139. That's DanoMyte139.
So, and also on Wednesday, you guys still do the Whatnot show on Wednesdays?
Whatnot Wednesdays, absolutely. So homebrew.
See, AF, I follow you guys.
Brother. I'm slipping in my old age here.
I don't get to watch everything, but I do pop in there time to time.
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, Whatnot Wednesdays, homebrew AF on Whatnot. We do that at 8 o'clock Central Time, and we do an hour long show hosted by Dennis Valencia of Celestial Knight fame. And we have remarks and rarities and signed editions and slabbed editions of all the things homebrewed. So if you're into all that stuff, you can definitely get that there.
I'm gonna have to get you to do a remark or something for this when we're sitting at a
love
table.
To.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah,
both of you, all of you guys. We'll do one like
we'll do a jam one, cover.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. We'll see. I haven't done anything with them yet. I'm scared for the day that somebody's going to ask me to do a remark and be like, that's not good. I've been trying to practice, but it's slow going.
It took a while to get comfortable doing remarks for me because I draw digitally, you know?
Oh, right.
Yeah, I draw digitally. So I, you know, at first I wanted like a pencil to sketch it out, but you can't really sketch out a drawing on a remark. So it's just like, all right, go, you know, just jump in and go. And now I can do a remark pretty quickly with my markers, you know, and I use like gold and silver and black and white markers to do my remarks. And yeah, they're going smoothly. So yeah. Oh, my wife is home. I can tell from the dog is running. Yeah.
Well, this is perfect timing. This has been great, Dan. I really appreciate you joining.
And
I can't
I
wait
great
to see
time,
you.
AJ, thanks so much for having
Thank
me.
You. Yeah, we welcome back anytime when something else comes out. Any of you guys, let me know. I told Chris the same thing. Just like I told you, we're setting these up.
Yeah.
You know, Chris came on the Thursday show with me and Annika. It was great. So you're more than welcome to do that as well, Dennis. God, any of them, Drew. So anytime you guys have something that releases, just hop on. Let me know. We'll get you in on that show. And because we need a lot less time, you know, because this show gets booked for months.
Yeah.
The other one, usually a week or two ahead, I'm pretty good. So
sounds great, man.
Yeah, man. I really appreciate it. We just got to hang out for a minute when I stop recording. But like I said, thanks again for hanging out.
Thanks so much for having me, dude. Peace, y'all. Thanks so much.
All right. Let me see.
Thank you for listening to Talking Comics Podcast, powered by Aquadio Media, helping creators make waves.